What's so great about? What's so great about?
Podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry, and you?
I too am well. Tried to bring the excitement from the start.
I was just going to say, I love the energy levels, yeah. Terry.
Gotta do it.
Very, very good.
How have you been?
Very well, Terry. Very well. As I was just saying there, very well. Yeah, very good. Hey, let me tell you. Right off the bat, Terry. First of all, let me just take a sip of my... This has been a little staple of the pod. Now, it's the little things, right? I bought this glass. Okay. Well, why don't we do yours first? And
I'm having a bourbon and Coke Zero.
Kentucky's mint.
You know me.
Yeah, I didn't have you down as a Kentucky's mint, Terry.
That's exactly what you have me down as.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you know that for a whiskey to be a bourbon, it has to come from Kentucky?
I didn't know that, Terry. Now, how is it?
Oh, it's a wildest of the wild turkey.
Okay. Mm. That's the name of the bourbon, yes?
Yes, wild turkey.
Didn't know if you were just saying like, oh, that's a wild turkey, that one. Like, cheeky little number.
Andy, we've been over this.
Yes, of course. Now, as I was saying, drinking? Terry... It's the little things, right? I bought this glass, this singular glass, because I liked it, okay? So I thought, this glass is nice. I want this glass. So I got this glass. Just a plastic tumbler. Well, not even a tumbler, just a glass.
Is it plastic?
Yeah, always plastic, yeah.
Okay.
So it doesn't break. And I've got filled with ice and the Dr. Pepper, Terry. And it is, if you don't mind me saying...
Would you get these, like... 28 for 22 euro or something?
I wish. Like. No, just... I bought an individual bottle to drink just for the occasion. Huh? Filled with ice.
Dr. Pepper.
Have you had Dr. Pepper in a while?
I'm not a big cherry colas man, to be honest.
Well, you're missing out. If you would try it, you'd go, it tastes good.
I did live my life when I was in my early 20s by the Dr. Pepper method.
What's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. That was the question I always asked myself when I got into a sticky situation, shall we say.
It's a good philosophy.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. I apply a variation of that in my 30s, where it's, if the worst thing that can happen is I die, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so, like, I mean.
Parachuting or something. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen is you die, like, I'm kind of ruling all those things out.
You're kind of Ben Stiller in Along Came Polly, that cost-benefit analysis guy.
Exactly. Just without all the smart stuff.
It was Philip Seymour Hoffman's birthday the other day. God rest his soul. But somebody posted a clip of, it was like, all-time great pratfall. Of like when, I think it's, you know, it starts with Ben Stiller's wedding.
Yeah.
In that movie. And like him walking into the... venue, and he just does this like slip on the, I don't know if it's because of his shoes or on the floor, but it's such a natural like, like, God, he was such an underrated, like, it's a fantastic comedy performance. So like that whole movie, like,
he really had it all, didn't he?
Yeah,
but
that was one that we talked about, like, hard debts. That was a hard
Yeah, that was one. He was a bit of a blind spot for me, to be honest. I think I just didn't see. I didn't see his best stuff. You know what I mean?
Plenty of time. You're still young.
Yeah. Nah. No. No.
No.
I'll tell you what I have been watching very quickly, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 4 episodes in. A new thing on Prime. I've been. Yeah.
Out of range. Am I close?
I don't know what that first one was, so...
It's sci-fi stuff.
You're close, I guess, then, yeah.
Who's in it?
Nobody I know.
Tales from the Loop?
No, I'll just tell me. It's The Boys.
Oh, yeah, of course. What do you mean, nobody you know?
I don't know anyone in it.
Elizabeth Shue was in it.
Who's that?
She's the blonde lady. That is
I shouldn't have clicked.
Oh, you're thinking of the young blonde.
Yeah,
woman.
I was.
Dennis Quaid's son is in it. I've told you about this show many times.
You have. I mean, yeah. but by process of you've told me about all the shows, Terry.
Which one is it?
It's very good, I have to say.
I'm a big fan. I'm
only four episodes in, but really, really digging it.
I think I talked about it on one of the solo pods that like I was watching season three. So you know that you have like the Superman analogy. Yeah, Homelander, who, by the way, he's fucking amazing performance.
I've seen a clip on Twitter today, I don't know if you've seen it, where like him and his co-star are talking about it and like they kind of interrupt each other and he's like, no, you go ahead. And the other guy, I think it was like the fish guy, and he's talking, no, it was just when I saw the character, and then like the camera just zooms in on the actor playing Homelander, who just looks like he's about to torch the whole place down. And like it's like faded in with like clips of him destroying things and the boys. It's so perfect. Like he looks like a fucking psycho. Like this character is so spot on.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone, well, I don't want to spoil it, but really, really digging it.
He's like evil Superman, which you know is a great concept, I think.
Yeah.
And then like in season three, they have this guy who's like who was the superhero, the big superhero before him.
Yeah.
And he's like called Soldier Boy, and he's like the Captain America. He was the guy that, like, fought in all the wars and stuff like that. Like, it's played by. I won't know it. Jensen Ackles.
No.
You probably know him to see because he was like on Supernatural, that fucking sci-fi show for like 20 years. Smallville for a little bit.
Vaguely familiar,
he's very good in this. Like, this is kind of his career resurgence.
Some of the names are a bit mental. Mother's Milk, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's from a comic book. I don't like that name because I was like, oh, like what does it mean? And they never reference what it means. They just call them MM all the time, and I'm like, okay.
The accent on the main guy is horrendous.
You cheeky chappies.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, are you American? Are you Aussie? Are you English?
He's Aussie in real life.
Oh, is he?
He's Aussie in real life. And they have him doing the Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins. Chimney chim, maroon choo choo, you little fucking superheroes.
And you know what the worst thing about people who have bad accents like that is? When it's paired with dialogue of
dialogue.
No, and it's like, you'll be like a rat in a, you know, like these analogies that no one uses, you know, like, you know, it's like before you can say, you know, some dumb phrase that you've never heard before, like, shut up.
He
looks the part, though.
You'd be like an ass hanging out your back window. Yeah. A little bit cheeky. Or something, you know, like.
Yeah. Something no one says.
Yeah.
Just to make it more.
How do you get turned on to it, just out of curiosity? How did you decide to watch it?
Usually if more than one person I know recommends it, and so you're always the one, so if someone else...
I'm patient zero, got it.
...recommends it, yeah. Uh-huh. And Kerry's sister was recommending it. She said she thinks we'd really like it. So when two people who know us well recommend it to us, it's usually the two of you, to be honest. Mm. On my side, it's you, and on Kerry's side, it's Shannon. And then...
Put your hands together.
Put your hands together, my friend. So, and it kind of just, I don't know why, we'd been going back over Community.
Hell yeah.
We went over it loads, and we were starting to go back over ones we just watched like a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, there's got to be something here. Like, there's a ton of shows here.
Mm.
So, very good.
There is a ton. It's just about...
I mean, they're shy, aren't they, though? Most of them are shy.
What, TV?
Yeah.
You're crazy, man. You're in, like, the TV I tell you to watch, you won't watch, and it's the best TV.
I've been hurt so many times.
Barry won't hurt you.
Where is it?
I told you where it is.
Access it.
Yeah, You can.
Hey, if I may say, that streaming thing that you sent me there to watch Adaptation on worked like a fucking dream, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, I don't mind you saying. What angers me is that I've sent you like 10 previous links and you're like,
watch,
I can't
work.
Use it. What?
Yeah, now I know. Now I know I can cast it, even though you said it from the start anyway. Watch the in work. Not only does it have subtitles. I'm just gonna talk over there. Subtitles. But when I close down the window when my lunch is over, I was watching it in work, and then I pick it back up the next day, it's right where I left off.
Exactly.
Fucking hell. Very intuitive. Very easy.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
That's what I want. yeah. Well, anyway, anything been going on with you, Terry?
Yeah. I was at the doctor yesterday. Oh. Not me. I was with my wife.
Yeah.
We had a scan for our upcoming addition to the household. Mm-hmm. Turns out I'm going to be having a gentleman's family.
Hey!
Do you know that term?
No, is that...
Two separate people said it to me today. It means when you have a boy and a girl.
Ah, gentleman's family.
Yeah, so we're going to have a boy. Yeah.
Brilliant. A little mini Terry running around town, huh?
My head around. Yeah, that'll be fun, huh?
Did you find it an adjustment mentally to be like, oh, okay.
I think it's going to be a girl. I hope it's going to be a girl. And then as soon as they were like, there you go. And like, you could see the penis. And I was like, and we both didn't say anything. We were like, is that what we think it is? And then your one was like, it's a boy. And we were like, whoa. I was like, oh, okay. Brilliant. You know,
that's brilliant.
I think it's kind of like, Faye was like saying like, oh, there's no way I got, like, she wanted a boy originally the first time around,
right?
Because she had like only dealt with like her nephews. She didn't have a niece. Well, it's kind of we did, I guess, like my sister's little girl, but she had spent more time around boys. So she's like, how are we gonna, you know, deal with a girl? And then it was like, as soon as Bonnie came along, she was like, I can't ever believe I thought I want, you know, it would be easier with a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now she's like, oh, no, like, it's going to be crazy. And like, it probably won't be. It'll probably just be like a chill little dude like Bonnie, probably. Fingers crossed.
Like, I mean, when I see even like Tony's little fella, like, he's like the cutest boy I've ever seen. Like, super, I wouldn't say he's super chill, but like, he's, you know, not a crazy kid or anything like that. Mm. I think the assumption is kind of like, I always have a loose thing in my head of like, with girls, like, the first 10 years are easier, and then probably the next 10 are harder than boys. And with boys, it's the opposite. Like,
on when Joni turns 11.
But I kind of felt the same when we were having our scan of like, because like at the start, it, like when they said it was a girl with Joni, I was like, whoa, okay. Because I was like, I have no experience with girls at all, you know. Mm. Don't I know it?
Bar one.
So then it was like,
that's it.
It was like, okay, well then that's you know, grand. And then we got used to that. So then when the next one came around, it was like, okay, well at least I know girls now. But that's great news. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we're very happy. So that was nice. Nice.
Does Bonnie yesterday know?
Yes, she does. And then we're kind of saying to her, she knows, with the baby in mommy's belly. And then we're kind of saying, oh, like, she kind of kept talking about, like, brother. That's my brother, she would say, about her toys and stuff like that. Yeah. We're like, and like, Faye's like, do you reckon she knew? And I'm like, no, but like, you know, you know, it's that kind of thing. You tell yourself, like, oh, that child knows something. You know, kids are very intuitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like I said, like, oh, you're going to have a brother. She's like, no, sister. And then, like, we're like, okay. And then, like, we're talking to my sister who picked her up from creche yesterday. And she'd said, oh, Bonnie said she wanted a sister. And she wanted a sister called Dog. I was like, okay.
Brilliant.
Dog could be a good boy's name.
D-A-W-G. D-O-G. D-O-double-G.
Dog Toner.
Father of the boy Toner, T-H-A. And his kid's called T-Dog.
Hey,
yeah, just saying.
I'd never get it past customs. AKA Faye.
Yeah. Brilliant. Look at
we've got a couple. We've got a couple of names in mind. I think we've
I was going to ask you.
Like,
do you have any?
Two. Down to like two.
Are you willing to share them yet?
No. We won't know. I don't think we're going to know until we see him.
Okay.
If he's A or B.
We've got a few in the chamber.
We were going through our list. Like, we went for breakfast after the scan yesterday.
Yeah.
Or brunch, probably, but it was going through the list, and we were like, oh, what did we have? We had, like, one that we were like, it's definitely this one. And now another one has kind of creeped up to be like, oh, it's neck and neck.
Yeah.
Ooh, around the bend. And then we were, like, looking at the rest of them, and I was like, what? When do we ever fucking think that name would actually...
I know.
One of them was like, Bear. And we're like, Bear? What's that doing on the list? Like,
scratch that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's funny how it changes. Like, we were very much like Ellie for the longest time, and then we were
Ellie,
like,
I think, on our shortlist.
Yeah, and then we were kind of like, you know. But then I kind of left it to Kerry because she was doing all the work,
incubating.
Frankly. Yes. So I didn't want to be one of those, because I heard there's a few girls in work, and I'd be like real upset that their fella is insisting on this name and they hate the name, and I'm kind of like, why don't you just...
It has to be a collaboration, though. It has to be, like,
at the very
some
least,
sort of, like...
Either
imagine,
you get...
Imagine the gall.
I know, these like, people. No, like, it's got to be this.
This
and
is
she's
my
like
grandmother's name.
Yeah.
Moira. Sorry for all the Moiras that are listening out there, but, like...
You know, Dimpna.
Don't even get me started on that.
So, yeah, I don't know. I tend to bow down, hands up,
bow
head
down. Bow down to the queen.
Okay. Well, look, on that note, Terry, should we
get into the king, Nick Cage? Sure.
Please.
She hates me. She's disappointed. I could see it in her eyes when we met. I've got to stop sweating. Oh, she looked at my hairline. She thinks I'm bald. She's thinking I would never in a million years sleep with this guy.
We think you're great.
Oh, thanks. Wow, that's nice to hear.
To begin, coffee would help me think. Coffee and a muffin.
I'm going up to Santa Barbara this Saturday, and I was wondering...
Oh.
I'm sorry.
So I'll just be right back with your pie then.
Drum roll, please. I'm gonna be a screenwriter, like you.
I'm putting in a chase sequence. So the killer flees on horseback, cops after them on a motorcycle. And it's like a battle between motors and horses, like technology versus horse.
Susan, we would really like to option this.
You wanna make it into a movie?
I want to know what it feels like to care about something passionately. John LaRoche is a tall guy, sharply handsome.
The book has no story. There's no story. Make one up.
Okay, we open with LaRoche.
No,
we open at the beginning of time. Okay, we open with LaRoche.
Crazy white man.
We open on Charlie Kaufman.
Fat, bald, ugly, paces.
I've written myself into my screenplay. That's kind of weird, huh?
I guess we thought that maybe Susan and LaRoche could fall in love.
I just don't want to ruin it by making it a Hollywood thing. It's like I don't want to cram in sex or guns or car chases or characters overcoming obstacles to succeed in the end.
She's crying. What's she hiding from?
I think you actually need to speak to this woman to know her.
People find love. People lose it. Every day, someone somewhere takes a conscious decision to destroy someone else.
This is our last dance. This is our last dance.
Who's gonna play me?
Oh, I'd like.
I think I should play me.
Under pressure. Under pressure.
That was the trailer for Adaptation from the year 2002. Andy, would you care to have a gander at the old boff? Any last words before I boff your balls?
The budget, Terry, can I guess first?
Sure.
Ooh. I'm going to say $10 million.
19.
Okay. All right.
You're close. You were close. Okay. Was it 5%? No.
10%. So, yeah.
He said 10%.
Okay.
Opening. We can, now, it only opened in 7 theaters.
One of these.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Didn't get a wide release.
Okay. Well, then, 70,000?
385,000.
Okay, well,
it's hard to know.
It is hard. Okay,
give me a domestic total though.
The budget was, what'd you say, 19?
Mm-hmm.
Domestic total, I'll say 24.
22. Hey, good guess.
All right.
Care for the worldwide?
23. No.
It is different. I will say this time around, it is different.
41.
32.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am interested in some of the fun facts for this one. Yeah.
So adaptation was written by Charlie and Donald Kaufman.
Oh, right. Okay. Why are you laughing?
Oh, sorry.
Now,
no, Donald is not a real person.
Oh, okay.
But he's a credited screenwriter.
I see. Very meta.
Yeah.
And
it's directed by Spike Jonze.
Yeah, actually, I forgot about that.
Jackass fame.
Yeah, I thought that.
It was nominated for 4 Oscars. Care to guess which ones? We'll just have a bit of fun with it.
Okay. Best screenplay.
Ding.
Best. Dare I say best special effects?
Uh-uh.
I knew that was a gamble. Best. Best actor?
Ding!
For Nick Cage? Wow. And best direction?
Uh-uh.
Production?
Uh-uh.
Alright, go on.
The other two were best actress and best supporting actor.
Wow.
For Meryl Streep and Chris Cooper, respectively. It won one. Can you tell me which one it won?
Chris Cooper.
Yes, Chris Cooper did win.
Yay. He won an Oscar for this. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well,
good for him.
Yeah, I love Chris Cooper, man. He was great. Awesome. Nick Cage has said that he ignored all his usual acting instincts and played the part exactly as Spike Jonze asked him to. Normally he would put a bit of the Nick Cage flourish in there. He said he basically had to, like,
the SpongeBob fish.
Dude, you are so funny. He basically ignored every instinct he had.
Wow.
And listened to Spike Jonze, which he normally
would never do.
He always puts a bit of himself in, or like he's described it as kind of like this push pull he has with himself.
Right,
and this he just said he just gave himself over to it, and you know it got him an Oscar nom.
Probably should have read more into that throughout his career.
This is based on Charlie Kaufman's struggles to adapt the book *The Orchard Thief* by Susan Orlean. So it is an actual book.
Okay,
and basically he got writer's block very quickly, so he wrote himself into the film and made up new story elements. Such as his brother and, you know...
Right.
The stuff between Susan Orlean and John LaRoche.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the clown who is responsible for I'm thinking of ending things, right?
He sure is, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. The name like Charlie... Whatever, I mean, look, I know he can't help his name, but even the name Charlie Kaufman reeks of pretension to me. I'm just going to say that. Charlie Kaufman. I'm a writer. Okay, go on.
Knowing that the producers would hate the new direction he went in, he decided not to tell them about it and just handed in the finished product. He thought it would ruin his career, but he won a BAFTA for best original screenplay.
So this movie itself was supposed to be an adaptation of the book The Orchid Thief.
Yes, and he couldn't do it. So what you're seeing in the
film... So it's basically the movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Which I think is... I mean, you use the word meta. I don't know. It kind of like breaks my brain to think about the levels in which It goes through. Now, your pal, Brian Cox, appears in this movie.
I know.
And legendary script guru Robert McKee, who is a real person in this, only signed on in real life. Like, this guy, McKee, has his writing commandments or whatever. He only signed off on them allowing him to use his name and likeness if Brian Cox was able to play him. Like, he picked Brian Cox to play him in it.
Okay, interesting. Calling the shots.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they were...
It was a good choice, I think.
Yeah,
I won't say too much about that.
Oh, okay. Let me see. What else have I got here? The belly in Nicolas Cage's fat suit in this movie was stuffed with lentils and beads to simulate fat jiggling. Cage sweated so much in the suit that lentils sprouted. I was disappointed to read that it was a fat suit, I have to say.
I didn't think it was.
It looks natural, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, I didn't think it was. So that's, I guess, testament to it.
Yeah. There's a lot of like...
What about Meryl Streep?
Okay.
On her.
She said it was the best script she'd ever read.
Ooh. She'd know as well.
Yeah. She...
What a coup to get her.
Well, that's it. Like, and she accepted the award, the BAFTA, on Charlie Kaufman's behalf. But when she went to... When she went up to accept it, instead of saying, I'd like to thank... Spike Jones, she said, I'd like to spank. And the place erupted in applause. Meryl. Look, I don't want to spend too much more time. There's a bunch more at all. How many Oscar winners are in the movie and stuff like that. Oscar nominated actors, all that good stuff. But really, like, I want to know. Can you tell me what you thought of this film?
Sure. Cards on the Table, I did see it before when I was in my teens.
Yeah, but this is the Andy we want to see it now, the 21st century Andy.
Yes. Is it? I will say this. The first, 15, 20 minutes, I was like, another fucking one of these ones I gotta fucking sit through. It picked up significantly after that, and I have to say, by the end of it, I would say I really enjoyed it.
Fucking yes, Andy, come
and
on.
I was kind of battling against, I didn't take any notes, I should say, so I'm just going to be vibing with it this week.
Yeah, great.
I was kind of I could feel myself getting sucked in, to the point where,
that's the brilliance of the movie. That's the brilliance of it. And,
you know what?
They talk about it so much in the film as well that this is why it's an amazing, amazing script. Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it was quite engrossing to the point where I do have my lunch in the studio where we sometimes record, and I was watching it on my desk in there, and my sister Ashley is working in the office now for a few months, so she just tends to sit in there and while I was watching this movie, she was on her phone or whatever. And so I was like, I've got to watch this movie for the podcast or whatever. So she's like, yeah, Grant.
Get to watch this movie for the podcast.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Got to watch this movie for the podcast.
Get to.
And then when she got up at 2 o'clock to go back to her desk, I was like, I forgot that she was there. I was like, I honestly, for the last 15 minutes, didn't even know you were still there because I was engrossed in the movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's kind of, what it is? It's it's an accessible, it's before he got two up his own hole.
You're right, 100% right. It's not unfiltered Kaufman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He needs to be filtered.
His best stuff, I think, is with Spike Jones.
Did he do Eternal Sunshine?
No, Charlie Kaufman wrote Eternal Sunshine, but that was your man, what's his face? French guy. Oh, my lord.
Dear. This is a bit embarrassing for a film buff such as yourself.
What the fuck is his name?
Jacques Cousteau.
No.
Gérard Depardieu, I think you're thinking
Michel
of.
Michel Gondry.
Of course, Michel. My bell.
He did Science of Sleep, and he did Be Right, Be Kind, Rewind.
Oh, yeah.
He was the big guy in Hollywood. He was the big, you know, import in Hollywood for a while.
Right.
But no, like, Spike Jonze did Being John Malkovich.
Right. You know, and was that clip at the start?
Yeah.
Was that, like...
There's a bunch of on-set stuff.
Was that, like, deliberately for this movie? Or yeah. was that...
Okay. No, it was deliberately for the movie. Because, right. like, it all, that had already wrapped at that stage. Like, it would have... Like, you couldn't have snuck Nick Cage onto the set of Being John yeah. Malkovich.
Because I thought that was a real thing, and then they used a bit of camera trickery to spin the camera around and to have him, like, oh...
I mean, there's a lot of trick photography in this movie.
I will say, like, him and his twin, like, I didn't notice at all. I mean... Obviously, you know it's about Nick Cage, but like there was no like, oh, there's where they CGI'd it, or there's
that is like really subtle in terms of
very
they do, because a lot of time they're not in frame together, and yeah. that's fine. But when they are in frame together, it's not like there's the dotted line that you can yeah. see, or it's not like, you know, in Friends when it was the two Phoebe and her twin sister. You know, that yeah. kind of, I know the production values are more for a movie than that, yeah. but like. It was, yeah, seamless a lot of the time. Like,
and I will say, great that Nicolas Cage ignored his acting instincts. And because I think this is his best performance.
I think it's the I've best seen. One we've done so far. Yeah. And it's probably my favourite of his of all time, maybe.
Yeah, I forgot, to be honest, how good he was in it. I was thinking, like, wow, Nicolas Cage is acting the shit out of this movie. But, like, in a good way, not overacting, but just so, like, believable. And, like, his hair and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it just, he looked so believable, and he seemed so believable as both guys, two very different guys, Donald and Charlie or whatever. So, yeah, I think he, you know.
I just want to look up.
Because they had the reins on him. They didn't let him be all, like, you know. Your movie idea is stupid. You know, like, it was that's a really stupid idea. You know, like, he was kind of just very subtle.
Yeah, subtlety. He can go big, or he can, you know, he can't
go small.
He can go can small. Can he? Yeah.
Well, so, okay. In this shirt. What are you looking at there?
I'm looking up Best Actor Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah. What year was this?
2000, I think it was 2003 for it there. So the best actor, Adrian Brody won that
Pianist?
Year. Yeah.
Quality movie. The Nazi one's always going to win, isn't it?
Nick Cage for Adaptation, Michael Caine for The Quiet American, Daniel Day-Lewis, Gangs of New York, and Jack Nicholson for About Schmidt.
Fuck off with Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York, he's brilliant in it.
No, that's shy. I put that on Whoa. A couple of years ago. I was like, I can't believe I haven't seen this yet. It's Daniel Day-Lewis. I was saying to Kerry, like, Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio. It's set in fucking 1800s New York or whatever. Yeah, all these or whatever year.
Ah, but you have Cameron Diaz in there, Andy, as well. Don't forget about that.
It was a farce. I was like, how is this movie? I kept thinking, like, oh, it's going to be a classic. It's going to be, you know, whatever, like an instant classic.
Day-Lewis is good.
Oh, it's too much. It's all too much.
I would have given it to Cage over Brody. In this. Like, I think it's...
I mean, Brody was very good in The Pianist, I have to say.
Yeah, but I think the
it's Cage a bit too is, on the nose.
Cage is doing something here that
you
very,
don't see.
Very few people could do. You know what yes. I mean? That level of neuroses in this is unreal. Like, and the flip side of it, like playing Donald, the subtleties of him being like, oh, thanks, hey. You know what I mean? Like that, yeah. like, when he's, like, putting him down.
Yeah.
Like, any time. Like, that scene between the two of them, where Donald comes in, and he's like, hey, I want to tell you about my script.
Yeah.
The three, you know, it's a police officer hunting a serial killer, and it's like, and turns out they're all the same person. He's like, okay, now, so how are you going to have somebody who is... the police officer in the station and also a woman tied up in a basement somewhere. He's like, trick photography. No. How are you? There's one person in this world writing your screenplay. How are you going to write? In what way is there? Like, mom's right. Very, very taut.
Yeah.
And then like, he's like, oh, thanks. You know, like, he's just so like.
There's a few scenes. He's got that it figured out. Yeah, exactly.
Donald,
and you think
at the start,
like,
out.
Oh, he's the idiot. But like, he's the happy one. And he's thriving and he's doing his thing. And
everybody loves him, you know? Like,
yeah. He's like everything that Charlie wishes he could be, just like, he just thinks he's dumb, though. I did like the little line where they're spying on Meryl Streep and he's like, he says something like, something, my friend. And he's like, don't say my friend. you know? Just little things like that.
There's so much good. Like, the dialogue is fantastic. The screenplay structure, like you're saying, the first 15 minutes, you're like, what am I watching with the, like, yeah. I'd say.
Why was that? I can't even remember why. What
like,
was the first 15
was it like
minutes?
The whole creation of man?
Yeah.
And the geniusness in the script is when Cage as Kaufman is like, we need to know, like when he's like spiraling out in his room and he's on the tape recorder and he's like, we start before, you know, and he's like, you know, before man, before dinosaurs, you know, the creation, the Big Bang, whatever. And then, like, he starts doing that. And you're like, he's wrote this into his screenplay at the start already.
Yeah.
And then, like, Cage listening back, or Kaufman listening back to it, of his insane ramblings.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's, like, so depressed listening to the shit that he has written. But he's already written it into the actual film that you're watching at
the
start.
There was a lot. I do kind of think my brain would be broken a little bit trying to dissect the sort of level. And for once, I'm on board with it. I'm not like, fuck off. I was kind of like.
I think you can't help but want to keep up with it. Like, because it's not too clever for clever's sake.
Exactly.
You know what it is? Like,
that was the problem with the other one.
Like,
for me.
I think, yeah, the other one is, and I think because it's a Netflix thing where Netflix are like, yep,
do what you want,
no oversight,
yeah,
and like you're saying with this one, he didn't have oversight, like he purposely didn't have oversight, but I think he was at a point in his career where he was like, well, I still have things to lose. I don't think he has anything to lose when he's at Netflix now. Like, you know, he can just, they're going to pay big money for a, you know, it's a Charlie Kaufman film for the first time in 7 years. Wow, big event.
People,
that's what it was.
It.
That's what people talked about. And then,
It
was, you know, divided opinion. This is a way more accessible movie because it's,
that's,
you know,
the thing. It was so much more accessible. It was, had a good, and just even the little things of like, don't you dare use voiceover, and then like he stopped using voiceover in the movie, or like when he gives him advice of like hit him at the end, like it could be whatever in the movie. And then I was thinking when he said that, I was like, I wonder if it's gonna really hit me at the end. And then like it just turns into this mad
they lay chase. That track at the start. That's the genius of it, though. But they lay that track at the start where he's like, I don't want it to be, you know, but a love story about how they fall, you know, Orlean and LaRoche fall in love or whatever, or dilute it down that instead of it being orchids, it's poppies, and it becomes drug running, and like both of those things happen right at the end. But you can see that he's like, after he goes meet Robert McKee, like that point in the movie, it's like the reel has changed or whatever. And it's like, now we're in the, what does Ron Livingston say? God, he's just so goddamn talented with structure. And now you're in the traditional, okay, we got to bring this home. We got to land the plane. This is the movie. We need to have an exciting incident. We need to have change. We need to, you know, all the stuff that he didn't want as he was going along in it. Like, I think
And then it's like, that works. So it's like, it adds to even the story then that like, oh, he's right to think that because we're now liking the movie itself. You know what I mean? Like, so that turned out to be right all along. And
it just works so, so well. Like, every time I watch it again, I'm like, wow. Like, the capabilities of, like, it's like 3D chess with yourself. Or, like, what's that famous picture with all the stairs? You know, like they're
oh yeah yeah
and like that's like the equivalent of this in script form, in that like you have like layers upon layers upon, and like they say in the movie, it's like a snake eating itself at times, you know, like there's
exactly that's kind of what it was like. There's like snake eating itself is probably the best description. I actually only took one note throughout this whole thing, and it's the weirdest note that I think I've ever written. And it's just literally the whole movie, so much to discuss. My only note was, and this is, I guess, how much the movie affected me. I just wrote, there are a few times during this movie I have found it to be extremely comforting. And I don't know, I don't even really know what I meant when I wrote that, but I don't, like,
do
I just kind of...
Do you identify with the John LaRoche character?
Maybe, just some of the, like, inner dialogues or, like, the, like...
The Nick Cage, like, the Charlie Kaufman monologue, you know, inner dialogue or whatever.
Yeah, inner monologues would be the better term. Yeah, like that. I don't know if it was that. I think it was maybe after one, maybe after a Meryl Streep one or something. But I just kind of found it to be, I don't know why comforting is the word I chose, but I found particular parts to be like, yes.
There's a lot of insight. Like, they're three different characters.
That's possibly it. Maybe there was a few like revelations in it where I'm kind of like, oh, that's very true. Or, like, you know.
What Meryl Streep says, like, because, like, she's great in it. She really is
great.
She is,
yeah. She's brilliant.
And she, you know, she's Meryl Streep, you know. It's, yeah. That's the understatement of the century, saying she's good. Good actress, Meryl Streep. But, like, the idea that, like, her character, for the most part, is very surfacey. You know, she just shows up to kind of becomes fascinated with John LaRoche. And you know, you see that she's sad,
yeah,
you know, in her life. And like the monologue where she kind of says, I wanted to care, like my only passion that I realized is wanting to care about something passionately,
yeah,
which is like a fantastic line, like for a thought, like here you go, you can have that one. That's,
it's almost that's like a form of poetry or something. Like, you know, there's a few different scenes and like a few references about the orchid and what it means. And
but like, I think like a lot of them, they're taken from the book, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And like Susan Orlean, excuse me, had said that like she was worried after reading the script.
Yeah.
You know, that people would think the Meryl Streep character was actually her.
Right, yeah.
And then I think somebody on set said like, you know, Charlie Kaufman Charlie Kaufman has written himself in this movie? And then she's burst out laughing. She's like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because like Charlie Kaufman like does not look like Nicolas Cage. He's not big, he's not fat. He kind of maybe has the same hair, but like,
is he that sort of shy, awkward?
A little bit, it seems that way. Like you know, he's putting a lot of himself in there. I think he is magnifying it because like that like his neuroses in like the whole thing when he's meeting Tilda Swinton at the start, and he's like, I'm sweating, oh my god, I'm so fat, I'm sweating, you know, you know, like and he plays it brilliantly. Like, again, like the idea that like it's rat-a-tat-tat, but it's also like, oh yeah, I've been there. I mightn't have said be saying like I'm a fat sweaty mess or whatever, but like that my self-critic has been
especially when he's at like Brian Cox's seminar thing, and like he's giving all these weight, and he's just talking loudly to himself the whole time about what a piece of shit he is and all this sort of
I'm
stuff.
I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna start. You know, like
or little things like, you know, where he's dropping the date off, and he's like,
that was heartbreaking.
He's like, I should go.
Go up there, like before he even started saying before he started saying that, like. When he lets her go, and I was like, in my head, I was like, go fucking knock on the door now, Charlie. Like, this is me in my head forgetting that. Like, then he's like, I'm going to go, I'm going to knock on the door, and I'm going to give her a kiss, or, you know, be romantic, be spontaneous. I'm going to do that right now. And then, like, he just drives off.
Just drives off.
But, like, in my head, I'm like, that's what we want you to do. That's what we want you to do or as like, movie watchers.
When he goes to New York and he sees Meryl Streep in the lift.
So fucking
and
good.
And he's about to say something. And, like, you really get the impression that words are just about to spill out of his mouth.
And, like, and she kind of picks up on it as well. Like, she kind of, like, she feels, it's almost like bracing, like, herself for impact. Like, that scene with Judy Greer where he's, like, she's, like, talking about, you know, wow, orchids, you know, like,
yeah,
like, And then he's like, oh, I'm actually going up to this thing in Santa Fe. And like, he doesn't even ask her because she's so, like, her face. Like, oh. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm, you know.
It is so awkward. Because he just had a fantasy about going there with her and, like, you know, all this sort of stuff. And it was just like, he just really feel for him. And then like, just the movie kind of, again, it takes such a sharp left turn where it's like, now they're going to, like, spy on her and what's his name?
I maybe want to talk about before that, like, I want to talk about, like, Chris Cooper and Meryl Streep scenes.
Yeah.
And, like, the Chris Cooper stuff is, like, the LaRoche stuff is so, like, multi-dimensional.
Yeah.
In that you're like, oh, it's this kind of blowhard character that thinks he knows everything, and, you know,
yeah,
he is a spoofer, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And, like, when he's talking about how, oh, I was into Turtles, and then I gave up on Turtles, and we were into mirrors, me and my mom were into mirrors, and, you know, and then he said, and then I said, fuck fish, I never set foot in the ocean.
Yeah.
Again, still, like, this whole weird of, it's not even an obsession, but it's like he just dives headlong into something.
Yeah, and then just jumps right back out.
Into the next thing or whatever. And like when later on in the movie he's onto like computers, he's onto pornography. And it's great that they tie that back in. But like the scene where like you see how he lost his teeth.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. And I'm like, oh shit. Like the first of all, the way he plays it.
Yeah.
Like, and the depth that they've written the character, like, he's in the car with his mom and his uncle and his wife, and, you know, they set up this nursery for his plants or whatever, and the fucking way, like, they get T-boned.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're just loading him, and he's like, which one's a day? Yeah, you know, that whole thing. And then it cuts to, like, him sitting by his wife's bed, and then turns out she divorces him as soon as she comes out of a coma.
And then his nurse,
it's just like, wow, this like pathos you get from this character that like really up until that point you're like, you're just like an oddball.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
The thing. Like, you assume he's some sort of chancer or like, you know, something like that. But he's
a dumb person that likes to think he's smart. And he is that way.
Yeah.
But like there's also then this depth to him that like you
see why he is the way he is,
and in a lesser screenwriter's hands it wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, like in terms of character,
I wonder how much Charlie Kaufman, the real Charlie Kaufman, had in, like, how much say he had in the way this movie looked, or, you know, I know he wrote it, but like
him and Spike Jonze were quite collaborative, like, especially after thinking, like, Spike Jonze was one of the ones that was like defending him after he turned in this script that was not at all what was expected of him.
Yeah,
like that's what he was saying, like Spike Jonze kind of championed them, and he was like, well, my career is over. And like that whole scene with Ron Livingston where he's like, it's been 13 weeks.
Yeah.
To not give them anything now would be a fucking terrible career move is apparently based on a conversation that he had with his agent. Like,
oh, really?
there's so much stuff in it that like his agent, like, it's clever on Livingston. It's based on a real guy. Like, he was the guy that basically said, I bet you I can get Being John Malkovich sold as a script.
Right.
You know, like, cause they said, no, I think he was having trouble selling it around, and he was like, you take me on, I'll guarantee you I'll get this sold as the script.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think the whole, like, the scene with Chris Cooper and Meryl Streep when they're in the swamp.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, reaching out to him. She wants to go see an orchid, a ghost orchid. And he's getting frustrated, and, you know, he's building a sundial.
Yeah.
And you see it in her face. They're like, oh, this romantic idea in my head of this guy who's like this weird,
like, free,
like, yeah, and it's know, like, oh no, he's just a kind of pathetic fella that like has delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
And what he says is not untrue either, where he's like, you're just somebody who wants to like suck me dry and spit me out, yeah. Which is kind of true because she's like using this as an escape.
Yeah, from her life.
From her life that she doesn't seem very happy with there. And then, yeah. Like, I just was like, when I was watching, I was like, it's a very, like, I don't know if you've ever been in the situation with Kerry or anything like that, where it's like, you guys have been lost. And it's very, very easy to turn on one another.
Turn on each other.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, like, or get frustrated with one another. And I, like, I was feeling that.
Yeah.
There, you know, that sense.
It was a very real sort of thing. And then just even the way when he finally found the thing, then it was kind of like, they do a great job of shooting it, just making it look so unremarkable.
Mm.
So she's like, it's a flower, you know, yeah. Whatever. You know, like this thing that she was obsessed with seeing.
It's just a flower, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not like,
and I was thinking that when they shot it, like, you just kind of see it over a branch and it's like, oh, there it is. Like, you know, no sort of close up, like the mystic orchid or anything like that. It was just like.
And then the twist that they take from there to be like, the orchid actually has this like powerful drug inside it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, he sends her the fucking pollen, I don't know, whatever the hell he's extracted.
They're snorting.
The green stuff that like, so the scene where she like does it the first time.
Yeah.
I thought it was like,
that was great.
I was like, oh, that's one of the much better I'm on drugs scenes. You know what I mean? You know,
it's subtle. She knows how to do it. Like, you know, it's not like, hey.
It's not like, you know, the walls are going purple or, you know, like, it's like when she's brushing her teeth, you can see it hitting her.
Yeah.
And she's like.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I was like, I've been there. That's like when I've been on mushrooms, where you're like doing something, you're like, shit.
That's, you know, not normal. I can't normally
do this thing.
I can't watch that second paintball episode of Community without thinking of
when we were coming up on the mushrooms.
We were coming up on mushrooms. You know, like, it was just kind of like everything was super red. And you're just kind of like, oh,
for me,
this I think is.
I think I must have come up a little bit earlier than you. It was the Pillow Fort episode.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like, at one point, they're chasing the professor guy through all the pillows.
Oh, yeah.
And like Britta, who'd been like, I'm never going in there, you know, it's so stupid. And then they run into this room and it was like big. The tent seemed
like
way
a hookah
bigger.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. And she's drinking wine with like these two weird looking people. Yeah. And I was like, when that happened, that kind of just hit me. I was like, that looks really weird. I was like, oh, I'm on drugs.
Yeah.
If, like, I didn't know already.
Particularly in that paintball one at the end where it's like they're all doing their thing and then like there's like a shot of a back of a truck and then that big giant like ice cream cone. It's like, get him. You know, I was like, okay. What is this?
It's like, bow down.
Yeah, yeah. What is this?
When I was watching the Robert McKee scenes where he basically, when Nick Cage is like, or Kaufman is basically saying, you know, like stuff that doesn't happen in real life, and when Brian Cox and Robert McKee, yeah, and he's like, it's like, every day this happens. People die, you know. A mother, a child sees her mother beaten to death. A man steals his best friend's girlfriend. Like, when he said the line, like, why precious 2 fucking hours?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, there's Andy's best mate ever now. That's,
Yep.
Yeah, I was like,
100%. And I thought that when I saw this, I was like, it's a 2 hours one. There is nothing better.
1:55.
Yeah, okay, fine. There's nothing better than when I see a 1:30 thing at the bottom right hand corner of the screen. I'm like, fucking come on.
But this is it.
This one was fine. This one was fine. It did.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the whole sort of thing with the, like, she wants, like, you never see in a movie, or you rarely see, where like someone's peeking through a window. And then, like, they just see them straight away. Yeah. Like, oh! And then, like, straight away, he's caught them. And she's...
I love how it's her.
yeah, she's like, we have to kill him and all this because her reputation and all
like,
this.
Like, he's so like, oh, hey, man, like, yeah. Who's going to play me? Oh, okay, yeah. Cool, yeah. Nice to meet you. And he's going to let him go.
Yeah. And but, then, like, the fact that you've got, like, then at the end, you've got, like, you've got guns being pulled, you've got a high-speed sort of chase thing, you've got
a car accident,
alligator attack, yeah. You know, like, really all these, like, different
throwing
things.
Throwing it all in.
Like. Where it's like, it was just talking beforehand, and now you've got all this sort of shit coming on.
Wow, at the end, you know?
But, like, when they got in that car accident, like, they had this big revelatory, like, moment in the woods where...
I love that.
That was so sweet. And then, for him...
And you talk about having actually gasped.
Yeah. And then I actually gasped when they crashed the car, because I wasn't expecting. I was like, oh, they're away. And then they just crash, and he goes flying through the windshield. I'm like, oh!
And even he's, you know, singing the Turtles to him.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite bits in the movie is when they're in the hotel room, and he's like... She's lying about it, you know. Like, yeah. He's all energy. He's like, imagine me and you. I do. Come on, you know the words. And Charlie is giving him.
What do you mean, Einstein and Jesus?
I think about you day and night. So,
I never got the sense that there was no one else standing on the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like that. Like you say, it is seamless.
Yeah.
It's a lovely moment, like, even when Donald is dying, like, he smiles. But, like,
yeah.
Even, like, Donald is so earnest in it that you're, like, he talks about, like, how it'd be an honor to impersonate Charlie.
Yeah.
And, like, Charlie is nothing but, like, you know...
Mean?
Yeah, mean, but, like, condescending, whatever. Like, yes. It's obvious that there's a love there, but there's also, like, he's so wrapped up in himself that he takes out his own frustrations on Donald. And Donald it's almost like it just bounces off him the whole time.
It's like he's a dog or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know,
like, you know.
Where he's just kind of like, whatever happens, like, you know, like, just, what next? What are we doing next, huh?
But even, how come we never see Amelia around anymore? Like, you make a move on her and it's the opposite of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's why she's gone away. But, like, he, like, in his own way is, like, trying to encourage Charlie in that way. Or, like, trying to, like, big him up almost.
Yeah.
Like, he says the same things like, oh, did you put the hots on that rider that you're in New York?
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. And, like, and he probably does know this about his brother. His brother is not really capable of at that time doing anything like that, but he still is almost trying to, like, big him up to make him feel better. Like, so it is, like, tragic when he dies.
Yeah, I was like, oh no. I was kind of, I was hoping, I was like, not Donald.
Yeah.
You know, even when that happened.
But I love that everybody loves the screenplay as well. I love that, the three, man, I'm gonna sell that for a shitload of money, you know.
It's the best thing I've seen all year.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he says it could be in the high sixes to $1.5 million, you know, like.
but
fantastic watch,
I think. So I don't have much else on it, but I do think that it was the surprise hit of the series so far.
That was one I was looking forward to doing.
I mean, I don't know if I... Where do I put it is the question. If I'm giving it a rating, I would give it a solid 8.5.
Okay, that's very good for you.
Yes.
It's like a 10 for me.
And are you giving it a 10 or that
I'm
giving
it a 9.5.
Okay.
9.5.
Would this be your top so far?
This is my top. This is now top.
Ooh, okay.
Who gets the Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting?
Meryl Streep.
Oh, you give it to Streep, would you?
I'm giving it to Streep. It is Meryl Streep. I love Meryl Streep.
I know, but, like, I love her too. Don't get me wrong. But I think... And she is great.
You'd give it to your man?
Cooper?
What's his name? Cougar.
Coog.
My son tells me your company stinks.
Cougar. Chris Cayuger. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Cage.
Okay.
I think it's probably his best performance
ever.
How could he deliver a better performance than this?
Do you think, is it coming up later in the series that you think one rivals it realistically?
There is one that rivals it realistically.
Is it Pig?
It's Pig.
Okay.
But Mandy, he's brilliant. There's bits in Mandy. Mandy is about 2 hours, and the first hour, to give you a heads up, the first hour of Mandy is kind of like, you're pushing the car up the hill and you're seeing all this cool scenery as you're pushing the car up the hill.
Right.
And then the second half is the bonnet's on the brakes fire. Are off. We're shooting fireworks right. out the window. But some of the stuff he does in the first half of that, you're it's kind of subtle and heartfelt, and you're fucking hell. There's a scene in particular in that movie where I'm Jesus Christ, what is he tapped into here? It's completely different to this, because this is so emotionless, I want to say, and I don't know if emotionless is right, but this is more neurotic, this is more brain as opposed primal,
it's not grand acting, you know what I mean, it's not stage ish acting. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, and Pig is very.
He said that's his favorite movie that he's ever done.
Yeah, and I go back to it. It's a shame he didn't get nominated for the Oscar for it. I thought,
was his stock too low by that stage that you can't have Nicolas Cage?
It was a first. It wasn't a festival darling. It was the first movie by this guy, and it was kind of came and went. And people were the critics were this is, in a bunch of top tens critics and stuff. But I think it was he's been in the wilderness for a while. It's interesting that after Pig, his next movie is that Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is a commentary on his whole career.
Yeah.
And you're thinking back on it, there's no other actor that could probably make that movie,
right?
Because it not only pokes fun at himself but also celebrates everything about him. And he's at that point now where like we were talking about last week, where you were saying, had he peaked after Face Off and all that, and it's I don't know if he'll ever be as big a star as he was back then, but this is kind of he's on the way back up here. He's almost at another peak before he hits the downslide again of Drive Angry in 3D. Yeah. The devil has stolen his daughter and he's going to get her back or whatever.
Yeah, he seemed to go through a real spell of what is he doing sort of thing. He's paying the tax man.
That's it. Movies. From the 2010s, it's one for me and 10 for them. That's the way I would describe his career.
I would put Face Off still top, because it was just this is on paper a much better movie than Face Off, you know what I mean? But I was just had a big shit eating grin on my face from start to finish with Face Off. This one,
it's popcorn, it's totally entertaining.
This one was a huge surprise, though. This would be my second.
I'm really glad you liked it. And I was watching, I was like, I have faith. I think Andy will like this.
All is not lost with him.
Yeah. No, but I was like, I could easily see you not liking it. But then, but it's actually even Faye, I'd kind of said to her, do you want to watch Adaptation with me? And she was like, no, we only watched it a while ago. And so on Monday, when we got back from town and stuff, I stuck it on. She went for a nap in the afternoon, and she came down at one point, and I think it was that scene where we were talking about where he's trick photography, the two of them in the bedroom. And she was like, she just walked by and she kind of stopped and was staring at the TV and she's like, God, he's so good, isn't he? And I was like, yeah, yes, you know, yes, he is, right, he is.
When I was saying it to Kerry, I was like, I watched this one in work, like, it's actually quite good. She's like, you always seem to watch the good ones by yourself. And I was like, I don't think you would have liked it anyway.
I think she'll like next week's one. We're doing Matchstick Men next week.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she'll like that one.
Is that on any streaming?
You know what? Let me give it the old college.
Well, if it's not that old link you sent me, was
top notch.
Dynamite.
It was one of those ones. Matchstick Men was one of those ones that was like when Centra brought out renting the DVDs. You know, it was one. That was one of the first ones there you could rent.
Right.
McKenna from Tucker is in it.
Hey, all right.
Remember McKenna?
I do, of course.
And Sam Rockwell. So you're in for a good time. Now, let me get this phone going here. You can get into the plugs if you want, Andy, while I...
Okay, folks, you know where to find us, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's at What's So Great About Pod on Instagram and WSGA Pod on Twitter. You can find links in our bios to everything we do, including latest episodes, videos, Patreon freebies, the Patreon itself.
Is that Mike?
That's you.
Okay. The Patreon. Yes, Andy said it there. We have two tiers on our Patreon. We have the pay what you want tier, which is literally, I think, minimum of €1 that would make you a hungry heart. What was that?
Nothing.
Keep booing. Yes. And you get 4 episodes a month, 1 a week, and it's full of good quality content. We've done a bunch of top 5s. You get access to our back catalogue of our previous What's So Great About miniseries, What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s action movies, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Big Will's Bad Movies.
You're essentially getting 4 hours of our time for a quid.
Hey, can't go wrong.
4 hours, maybe 5-6 hours of my time. 10 hours of our time combined for a quid. If you're happy, if you think that's fair, then by all means, stay on that tier. The few of yous.
But the other tier we have the Big Shot tier, which is $5 a month, €450. And of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
Haven't broke that one out in a while, eh?
Hey.
Yeah. And that is basically everything I said earlier on there. Plus, you get a bonus Q&A and you get access to all our video content. You know, that's the tier. If you're signing up, go for that tier. That's what I'd say. I'm sure Andy would tell you the same.
Big time.
Now, if you can't afford the Patreon, and, well, you know what? If you can't afford it, I won't hold it against you. But I would expect you to do the bare minimum after listening to our free podcast.
Uh-huh.
And that is to give me a rating and review. Now, Andy.
Yes, Terry.
Did you know in this movie, Robert McKee's seminar will hit you or set you back a cool $500 dues? Now, I don't want a 500-star review. In fact, divide that by 100, and I will be very content with a 5-star review.
Yes, how does he do it, folks?
That alone, that kind of quick thinking is worth $5 a month, I would say.
That should warrant the money and the review, eh?
I want to say a big thanks before I get it to Neil Murray Music for doing our intro song, and he also does our big Patreon time theme song. He's a great man. He's one of us, huh?
He is one of us. A good guy, just like us, huh? Yeah. Just like you.
Otherwise, I don't know. Anything else to plug? Maybe check out Andy's footy videos.
Check me out on TikTok and Twitter at Andy Cantwell, and on Instagram at Andy Can Vids.
And I do be Terry? Doing a couple of hours on the radio, on 8radio.com. I put it out on my socials when I'm about to go on the air. It's normally an hour or two per week, a couple of times. And
very
I'm sure
good,
the podcast
very good tunes.
Will, yeah, if you're into, if you're looking for a different style of music in Ireland, or, you know, if you're abroad as well, you know, you'll get it through the 8 Radio app or on the website. It's kind of, you know, classic alternative new music, but it's something a little bit different. So
I listen when I'm in work on my headphones.
Hell yeah, Andy.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
Yeah. I enjoy doing it.
I enjoy 4 out of 5 of the songs, I'd say.
Hey, as your buddies would say, 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
What a great outro song you've just put.
Oh,
us, huh?
God damn it. You know what? I like that one, though. I've come around to it. Yeah.
You're in for a treat. It's like a mixture of all the songs put together, that example of yours.
If I could
Cosmos
just mouth sound
without it. Hatred.
Such an awful time.
Yes. Look, on that note, enjoy this banging song. And I love you.
Yes,
Terry,
you
may
big,
one day love
from
you.
Me behind the paywall. You got to pay.
And on that note,
cough up.
Take us out.
Way, start your free trial today. Come on in the water's lovely look. You could meet someone you like. You're in the meat of your strike. It is that easy. Lunar surface on a Saturday night, dressed up in silver and white, with colored old grey whistle test lights. Take it easy for a little while. Come and stay with us. It's such an easy flight. All getting gentrified. I put a taqueria on the roof. It was well reviewed. 4 stars out of 5. And that's unheard of. Mr. Bridge and Tunnel, I'm a Starlight Express, the head of special effects in my mind's eye. Okie cokie with the opposite sex, the things you try to forget, doesn't time fly? I'm in no position to give advice, I don't wanna be nice, and you know that. Take it easy for a little while, come and stay with us. It's such an easy flight. All getting gentrified. The information action ratio is the place to go, and you will not recognize the old headquarters. All the nights that never happened, and the days that don't exist, at the information action ratio. Stop laughing, it's to breathe, us deep a key.